Good evening. I was scheduled to speak on Wednesday, but talking to Brian before Wednesday's class, we were talking about his traveling, and we agreed that he would do the Devo Wednesday, and I would fill in for him tonight. But thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you, and thank you again for the encouragement. So last month, we traveled down to a family get-together in Athens. It was a birthday party for Adrian's niece. After she had got done opening her presents, Adrian's dad, Sam, had a small gift for Cole. It was a small box, but when he opened it, his smile filled his entire face. The box had three different keychains, with each some random keys on them. So Cole loves keys right now. He had Becky's in his hand this evening before services. And I know a lot of kids are fascinated with keys too, but right now, it's Cole's thing. He loves those shiny metal objects. Adrian and I have joked that maybe he'll be a janitor or a jailer someday, but somebody that has a lot of keys to carry around. So why are keys important? Well, keys unlock things. Keys give access, and that access is important as well as powerful. Cole loves his three key rings that he got last month that are now his own, but what he really loves is the keys for mommy's car or daddy's car. He can identify them, and when he sees them, he wants to hold them. They give him excitement because he knows a little bit about their importance. He knows they have power. They can unlock doors. They can crank motors. Even at his young age, he knows about their use and their potential. And now that he's grown a little bit, he can reach up to doorknobs. He even tries to use his keys on every lock imaginable. We were traveling this week, and he got him stuck in the bathroom door several times. But all of this reminds me of a couple Bible verses about keys. So there's a couple of them about locking doors and limiting access, oftentimes people in prison. But let's go to possibly the most popular one in Matthew. Flip over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, 16 to 20. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Okay, so we've read this before. We know this story. We know this account. We know what has just happened, and we know what is about to happen. So I've got a question for you tonight. Did Christ pass over literal keys? Did he pass over shiny metal objects on possibly metal rings that get all the kids excited even today? Did he pass these to Peter and to the other disciples that were present? So no, I don't think he did. Remember, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is speaking of is not a physical kingdom that contains physical barriers that would require keys. We know from a few verses later down in 16, verse 28, and other verses, that the kingdom of heaven is the Lord's church that was soon to be established. So because of Peter and the other disciples present, because of their obedient faith, and because of their confession of Christ as the Son of God, Christ gave them the privilege of being the first men to tell lost souls how to become a part of the kingdom, the Lord's church. Again, these keys that Jesus gave them represent the opportunities that Peter and the others would have to welcome the world for the very first time to the new Christian age and to the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ. So we can also read when they used these keys. So when Peter and the other disciples had this opportunity. Flip over to Acts chapter 2. This started here on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we know, verse 4, that the Holy Spirit filled them. We know that there were men gathered on this day of Pentecost from all over. It says, every nation under heaven. And we read later that there was some initial confusion because each of the men heard them speak in their own language. Jumping down a few verses, verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So Peter and the others stood up and gave the first recorded gospel sermon after the resurrection of Jesus. The sermon is down verses 14 to 38. And this is when Jesus' words were fulfilled the first time. And we know on this day, 3,000 Jews were baptized and entered through the now open doors into the kingdom that Peter and the others had just opened. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So finishing up this chapter, we know about 3,000 were added to the Lord's church. But notice, just now I said, this is when the doors were opened the first time that Jesus' words were fulfilled. And also said that there were 3,000 Jews were baptized and added to the church. So that leads you to think, yeah, there would be a second time that the doors would be open. The keys to the kingdom would be used. And also, maybe there were more than just Jews that would be allowed to enter the kingdom. So let's jump over a few chapters in Acts. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This is where we read of the account where the doors of the church were opened again, but this time they were opened to non-Jews, the Gentiles. And this account is not unlike the opening of the doors in Acts chapter 2 to the Jews. Because again, Peter is the one who uses the keys to open the door. So Acts chapter 10, we can read that account, but Peter goes up on the rooftop in the middle of the day to pray. He becomes hungry, and as the food was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He had a vision of a sheet coming down full of four-footed animals. Verse 13, Peter's told, a voice tells Peter, arise, kill and eat. In verse 14, Peter responds, no, Lord, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. The voice speaks to him again, and then a third time. So, of course, we know that this represents that the gospel is now to be preached to the Gentiles. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 10, Peter affirms. He says, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Okay, so now enters the picture Cornelius. Peter is again the one who does the preaching, this time effectively opening the doors to the Gentiles. As Cornelius, who is also a centurion, and his house become the first Gentile converts. We talk a lot about Acts chapter 2 and the establishment of the Lord's church on the day of Pentecost and its importance to us, but this event with Cornelius may be more important or as much important to most of us here today, as we would likely be in the same boat with Cornelius and his family, the boat that's full of the unclean Gentiles. So if it weren't for this message from God to Peter, and Peter's opening the doors of the kingdom to the Gentiles also. So fortunately for us today, once the doors to the church were opened 2,000 years ago, they remain open for us even today. And we know that they will never be shut, and we know that the necessary steps to access to the church have not changed. So how does this apply to us today? As Christians, our job remains the same as it was since the first century. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the disciples were told to go out into the world, to teach, to baptize, and to teach. Likewise, we are instructed to go out into the world, to teach, to baptize, and to teach. Our job is to teach people the truth so that they can also enter in and be part of the kingdom, the Lord's church, so that they can enter through those doors that were opened 2,000 years ago by Peter and the other disciples that first century. If you have any needs this evening, or if you would like to put on Christ in baptism, we would like to help you. If you have any needs, we would like to pray with you. Please come while we stand and sing.